is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Xi Jinping, much in the news, the General Secretary of the People's Republic of China for an unprecedented third term in the 21st century. We travel now to the 20th century, very early in the second decade, thanks to Joseph Turigian. His new book, The Party Interests Come First, is a biography of Xi Jinping's father, a profile of his family, and a glimpse through the eyes of the protagonist, Xi Jiangshun, of the transformation of China into the success today, except the unknowns are very large, and Joseph helps me understand some of them. Joseph, a very good evening to you. You are an associate professor at the School of International Service at the American University, and you've published a book that is overwhelming to me, a first-time reader of Chinese communist history. I congratulate you and look immediately to understand this without any Freudianism. I'm not projecting here, but fathers and sons. In the West, we regard this as a profound relationship that explains a deal. Hence, we have dramas that talk about Oedipal complexes or not. Do they have the same thinking in China about fathers and sons? Good evening to you, Joseph.
Thank you so much for having me. There is a famous aphorism in Chinese that says, if there is a son like that, then he must have had a father like this. So there is a similar view in China that you can learn a lot from the father about the son. And of course, it's a Confucian society in which the father plays a crucial role in the family.
So I don't want to project too much, but wow, the drama here. Let's begin. 1913, our protagonist, whose name is Jiangshun, first name Xi, is born into what he describes himself as a poor peasant family in Shanxi province. What does that look like in 1913?
So Shanxi province is famous even outside of China because of the terracotta soldiers. And the reason they're there is because that was where the first Chinese dynasty was established. And for centuries, the capital of the Chinese Empire was in Shanxi. But before the birth of Xi Jinping, the father of Xi Jinping, this area had suffered from famine and bandits. So it would have been a dramatic place to grow up, because on the one hand, you have all of these buildings and architecture from the dynastic legacy, but on the other hand, it had also become an area of extensive violence and poverty.
The tragedy is immediate. Xi writes of his father, he was an extremely kind-hearted peasant. What did that mean in 1913, to be a peasant?
So his family had fled famine from another province, Henan, and when they arrived in Shanxi, they slowly, gradually built up a somewhat better life for themselves, but it was very precarious. It was a family that was constantly worried about the infighting among warlords. China as a whole, of course, just a few years previously had seen the last emperor abdicate. There was fears of foreign encroachment. So as a young person, Xi Jinping would have been aware of this moment of humiliation in Chinese history, but also something that was directly relevant to him as someone who saw this poverty affect his own family.
At nine, he's enrolled at a primary school in 1922. But we come to the incident in his schooling that is inexplicable from the facts that we've had so far, which is that at some point in 1928, he and a pal decided to poison the head of the school. Why? Do we know any more about their reasoning, Joseph?
So in 1926, 1927, the communists were working with the nationalists, Chiang Kai-shek. But in 1927, Chiang Kai-shek betrayed them and killed many of the communists. And in 1928, the communists facing this crackdown decided that they needed to resort to drastic measures. So a local Communist Party cadre ordered Xi Jinping's father, as well as two other 14, 15-year-old boys, to attempt to execute this academic administrator with poison. But it didn't go well. It poisoned a lot of teachers. It didn't kill the person that they wanted to. And Xi Zhongxun was thrown into jail. And it was while he was in jail that he formally joined the Chinese Communist Party.
Yes, he'd been a member of the Communist Youth League. But this is not early communism. That dates back to Marxism in the 19th century and then Lenin in the early part of the 20th century. But this is early for the Chinese Communist Party. So he was one of the first joining the Youth League and one of the first members of the party. Is that correct?
So he didn't join the party quite as early as Mao Zedong, of course, or Zhou Enlai or Deng Xiaoping. But joining the party in 1928 is considered very early. And in a system like this, when you joined and how much you suffered for the party was an enormous mark of prestige and status. So in the future, when other people accuse Xi Zhongxun of not really joining the party then, which was hard to prove because he joined in jail, it was a mark of personal pride for him to fight and be very insistent about when he joined the party.
He writes that his mother and father died of, I guess, sadness because he was jailed. Is that accurate?
So according to both him and other family members, the father experienced somewhat of an emotional mental crisis because of this tragedy that happened to his son, and that he died shortly after Xi Zhongxun was released from prison. And his mother and two sisters died shortly thereafter because of another famine in the region. And then in the 1990s, he wrote in his diary that this was a very, very difficult period for him. And it was a period of human barbarity in which he spent most of his time trying to figure out how he was going to help his siblings survive and not starve to death because he was the oldest one.
This is a period of transition in which there were three elements that are consistent in Joseph's very detailed telling. They're the communists, they're the nationalists, and they're the bandits, bandit guerrillas, all operating in the immediate environment for our hero Xi. But he's a member of the Communist Party. What did they mean? And he writes this. Others do too, to make revolution. How do they intend that?
You know, it's very interesting. Xi Zhongxun in later years was very frank that when he joined the Chinese Communist Party, he didn't really understand what communism was all about. He wasn't reading Das Kapital and being inspired by Marx's writings. He thought that it was cool to be radical. He thought that people who were the most ambitious about finding a way out for China's predicament was the most attractive group. But it's interesting that when he was going through this moment of personal crisis, what kept him on the revolutionary path wasn't reading Marx and Engels, but it was reading a novel. And the novel was about a young person who suffered and suffered and suffered and found meaning in that suffering and nonetheless decided that he wanted to commit his life to the path of revolution.
Yes, I believe that novel concludes with our hero being executed and also making the statement that only violence can save China. Is that same novel?
That novel does conclude with the protagonist's death, correct? And it's a novel that concludes, as you said rightly, that only force could be used to help China escape the predicament in which it found itself. And of course, it's very different from another view, which was that China could save itself by achieving science and democracy and enlightenment. And it's a tension that's always existed in the Chinese political environment.
We're mentioning these events in Xi's young life. He saw endless violence and cruelty around him. It's not a world that has anything comparable to the American or European experience in the 20th century. Nothing even comes close to how these people lived. But we're going to turn to his first wife because her point of view also contributes a deal to understand what make a revolution is. For Xi Jinping's father and eventually his mother as well. The book is The Party Interests Come First, The Life of Xi Zhongxun, Father of Xi Jinping. Joseph Terigian is an associate professor at the School of International Service at the American University, also a research fellow at the Hoover Institution. I'm John Batchelor.